Give and take in a marriage, you know, and don't argue. It don't fit out. Because when you're mine, when you're upset.
That's not really what you do.
Huh?
That's not really what you do. You argue a lot.
Well, yeah. Daniel's putting you on blast like, right now.
Do you know how old your grandma is?
No.
Now we can't get rid of them, huh?
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
This guy just comes year after year.
Hey, you know what? You started it. Yeah. So.
Welcome back to another episode of Central Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey, a filmmaker, photographer, and a dude passionate about his community. This podcast focuses on the talented individuals that make up the Central Valley of California, as well as people who are passionate about what they do. The Central Valley has gotten a bad rep, and we're here to change that. If you enjoy what we're doing, we kindly ask that you download each episode, subscribe to our YouTube, and leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you're using. And once again, thanks for tuning into another episode of Central Valley Podcast. What's up, you guys? A little surprise episode here. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey, once again, and I'm actually going to stop doing these intros for season 5, but for old time's sake, we'll do one more. In this podcast right here, I am joined by my grandpa and my cousin from Portugal, and in this podcast, we are talking about how our lineage is connected to our relatives in Portugal. So Emmanuel, who's on this podcast, his family in Portugal and my family in America, and how our lineage is connected is through a guy named Abilio Manuel Guerreiro Junqueiro, who was a famous Portuguese poet and a politician. Now, Junqueiro was one of the leading figures of the Portuguese literary movement. He wrote poetry, plays, and his work was characterized by a deep concern with social and political issues. In addition to his literary career, Junqueiro was also involved in politics, and he served as a member of the Portuguese Parliament. He was a prominent voice in the Republican movement, which led to the overthrow of the Portuguese monarchy in 1910. And if you know anything about us Americans, we're going to overthrow any monarchy there is. No, I'm just kidding. But he's a Portuguese dude. But I just want to shout out my grandma. Thank you for making this connection. My grandma is awesome with lineage and heritage and everything like that, and she even like she has our family tree like generations, and it's huge and it's spread out, but she's the reason why we kind of got connected. And it was just and my grandpa's mom, I believe, so kept saying like, you're related to the famous poet, and we're like, huh. So if you go to like Freixo, the town in Freixo in Portugal, there's like a statue of the poet and things like that. When we went to Portugal, when me and my cousin Donnie and Joey went to Portugal, we saw all these different statues of him and stuff. His grave site was in Lisbon as well. But it's just really cool to see that like your family history, you know, all of us being in America, I think that we just for far too often are just like, okay, we've only been this country for 300 years. We don't really know too much of our past, but it's really cool to look back and see where your family came from in generations and generations, you know? So I've been trying to get my grandpa on the podcast for a long time. Finally got him on the podcast in last December with Manuel, and Manuel was visiting, and then I took 4 months to edit the podcast. So that is what you guys are about to see. It is still the old podcast setup, but I just wanted to do a little surprise episode. I truly, truly enjoyed the podcast. We laugh a lot. We have a good time. We talk about our family in Portugal, and we talk about just all the times we've been to Portugal and things like that in this podcast. I truly enjoyed it, but I wanted to give you a backstory because we never are like, hey, this is who we're talking about. We just go in, balls a-blazin', as if you guys already know what we're talking about, already, whatever. But thank you guys for tuning in to Central Valley Podcast. I truly appreciate it. Season 5 is coming in, you know, a couple weeks. But for now, here is the leading off with it, and this is my grandpa. So this is Don Rogers, and this is Manuel Stone. So thank you guys again. Here it is.
Shout out Duffy. Shout out Micah.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it.
Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.
Do you ever listen to Micah's podcast?
I think you listen to
one or two.
With the one with Manuel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can stay like that, Grandpa. I'm just gonna push this like that. And you're good right there.
Okay, good.
Yeah, there we go. There's that. Yeah, I think you listen to our podcast, Manuel.
Right.
And so that's kind of why we wanted to do this, because Manuel did a okay job on describing how we were related.
But you know, I really needed your help. Oh.
Exactly, exactly. When did you first contact his, or like, how did you first contact Annette, right, Marie?
I think it's what
it was on the third trip we met her.
You met Anna Marie at the third trip.
Yes, correct. Yeah, and she had us at the poet's house. We talked a little bit, and then I don't know, something about us. She knew that all of Betty's genealogy that she done on the family was correct, and she called back to Alcina at the village and told us and says that Anna Marie wants you guys back at the house tonight for dinner. Uh-huh. And so we went back that night, and Bernadine was with us, and my sister Barbara and Dorothy. And so we had a big dinner.
Was it at the poet's house?
Yes.
So Lagarde's, is that where it is?
It's at Fashu.
Fashu, that's the other one.
Yeah.
Fashu.
Right.
And that's where your parents are from?
My mother is from the village.
Yeah.
All of her family is from the village. They've been there from birth. And so has the Junqueiros. That's where their family was all raised, was in Lagarde.
Uh-huh.
And
they're pretty close to each other, Fashu and Lagarde, or no?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right next to each other, right?
Yeah, very close. Yeah, yeah.
But that was, so you knew Alcina first?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, because somebody in the village had a message for us when she lived in Turlock. And she came over with another lady and gave us all the information, I guess. And it was about Arthur and Isabel, you know.
Oh, and Alcina used to live in Turlock.
Yeah.
That's the first point of contact.
Yes, correct.
And then Alcina is the one where we went over to her house, right, when we were there?
Yes.
And because my mom was really good friends with her when she visited.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, because I remember when I was going there and Alcina was just giving me like big hugs, like, tell your mom. And then Arthur is the friend that we ate at his house.
Yes.
Yeah, that was wild day. That was the most wild day. Because what I remember is when we got to Lagarde's or Fashu, is that where Arthur's from or Lagarde's?
No, Lagarde.
Lagarde, okay. So we got to Lagarde and you talked to his brother, remember?
Yeah.
We were like driving around aimlessly and then you were like, no, this is his brother. He was like, Arthur's going to come. And I remember just thinking like, we're in another country and like we're like talking to some guy that grandpa like probably doesn't know, and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Arthur finally showed up like after 30 minutes because we were sitting in front of a house for a while in chairs.
Waiting for them.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't think like we're like.
Yeah, I know. Arthur's brother is kind of hard to understand because I don't speak good Portuguese. I understand a lot of it, but I don't speak any of it. And it was the way he was talking. He's kind of slow, you know.
Yeah.
And you have to pick up on things that he says. And it was hard for me to understand him.
Yeah.
You know? And he wanted to come to America and get a job working for
really?
Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, but I never gave him one.
Yeah, because then Arthur ended up showing up. And then we had the biggest random feast of my life.
Arthur and Isabel, they always had a hotel room for us.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah. Their house was huge, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And then that house was like the poet's house, right? Where like it was just rock stacked on top.
Yeah.
And then they kept on just like remodeling it and remodeling
it. Well, yeah. When I went over with my mother, we stayed over in the Martins house, the next street over. And it was a big two-story house and had a lot of rooms. And I think I slept there one or two nights. And Arthur and Isabel was there on the side of the hill. But it was a little, just like kind of like a little shack, you know. Well, the next time I went to Portugal.
They had redone it already? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they kept adding on to this beautiful home out of brick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so nice. And he fixed all the bedrooms. And then when my sister's husband went with us that one trip, you know, he's 7 feet almost.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah, huge. And we slept there one night. And he told Arthur that he couldn't sleep in the beds that were too short. His feet hung over 3 feet.
That's like Donnie.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Tell him what happened to Donnie.
So Donnie slept in my sister's bed when they went there. And the bed, of course, was very small comparing to Donnie's size. And at the end of the week, the bed was broken.
Yeah. And he was trying to blame me. I was like, no, it was the...
it was a six-foot-five guy
who did that one.
So Arthur finally got a big bed. It's longer than any bed in his house, and it's for my brother-in-law to sleep there if he comes again.
Just in case. Because there's a tall American that needs a place.
You have to buy an American bed for you, huh?
But my mother, you know, even when I went over the first trip with her...
That was the first time you went to Portugal.
I took my mother over there before she passed away. And she kept telling, she told us all of our lives growing up that you guys are related, you kids are all related to the poet because I'm related to the poet, you know. And so Betty started doing all the genealogy and made the connection and everything else. And then while I was there with my mother, though, I didn't meet nobody, but she wanted us to take her to Fashu so she could take a picture of the statue of the poet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she knew the statue was there, so that's what we did. But, you know, I wish that she would have been alive to make the connection, but...
And so your mom was related... to the poet, out of curiosity?
Well, with Anna Marie and I, mm-hmm. we're related the same way to the poet through a great-grandfather of the poet.
Oh.
Yeah.
So before the poet.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. A great-grandfather. And so I don't quite understand
the genealogy. Exact, yeah.
You know, like three times removed.
Yeah.
But
Anna, fourth cousin.
In real terms, Anna Marie and I, she is like a niece and I'm like a nephew to the poet.
Oh,
we're both, right. But she has a different great-great-grandfather that's connected with the Junqueiro family, and I have one that's connected to the Junqueiro family.
But they're separate.
We're separate. We're different lines, but we're the same year.
The same
year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everything else.
And then you guys are the same age, or?
She's the same age as Barbara. She's the Barbara.
83,
and I'm 87. Is she, how old is Anna Marie?
Do you know how old your grandma is?
No.
I don't think she's quite that old, you know. See, I'm 86.
No, it's not. 84.
I think you're right.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's what Barbara is. Because when Barbara went over with us that one trip, that they were about the same age, you know, Anna Maria and Barbara. Okay. Yeah, my sister. So, yeah, it all worked out real good, I think, when we met. You know, she says she always has a lot of people saying they're related to the poet. Or the Junqueiros. But then when Betty had all the stuff...
Lined up
in a book, you know, and how we were all connected. And so when we went to the family reunion...
Uh-huh. And that was 2000 what? 2000...
I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 15?
That was 40, so 15 years ago.
Yeah, that was the fourth trip over there.
2007, 2008, something like that.
Yeah.
Because that's when my mom was driving you guys all in the van,
right? Yeah.
I can't imagine driving a van, a big van through Portugal.
A big Mercedes van, and we're nine of us in it. Yeah.
And that's overwhelming, just driving anywhere with nine people in your car.
Yeah, and... I think the girl from Hawaii was the youngest one in the car.
Right.
Rodriguez's granddaughter.
Alice's granddaughter.
Yeah. But, you know, Anna Marie couldn't have been nicer when she called Altina to tell us to come to the village the next day for dinner in the evening, you know.
And that's where the same day we had that lunch at the patio. Remember having lunch at a big patio in Freixo?
Yeah. Was that?
It was that same day?
I don't think it was that same day. I think it's the time when we came for the family reunion.
Yes, I think so.
When we were in the back in the patio, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the poet's house is crazy. Like that.
It's amazing.
It's older than America.
I don't know when, you know when it was built, the poet's home?
Sorry?
When the poet's house was built. What year?
I don't know.
I don't either. I know it was there when Spain was always attacking Feixiu, you know, from across the river.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
probably after that.
Probably after that.
Yeah, I think so.
But he built it like a fort. I mean, the walls
are like thick, right?
All on stone.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Really thick.
Yeah, really did a beautiful
job. I guess that's the way they were building things at that time.
Back in the day.
In those more traditional places.
Yeah, because, you know, Spain helped them out at different times, but at the same token, Spain was always fighting them and
trying to take territory out of
them. Yeah,
because the Lagage is right on the border.
On the border, Freixiu. Freixiu is right on the border.
Both of them
also.
Are right, and then the river's right there. What was that place called? Where we went, where the eagles are?
Penedo Durão.
Yeah, that place was really cool. And then the...
With the cliff?
Yeah, with the cliff. Yeah. And then you go to see the whole thing. And then Lagage, is that... Remember when we went in the bell tower?
No, that's Feixiu.
That's Feixiu. Okay, that's Feixiu.
Where you ring the bell?
No, we didn't ring it.
No?
No, it was... It started
ringing.
We were like up there at like 10 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
And then were
you with us, Grandpa?
I
went up there.
Did you climb up?
Huh?
Did you climb up there?
Yeah, the first time. Yeah. I thought, man, how did they ever do this? And then they got those gun ports.
You know,
around to stick your rifle on.
Exactly, because then we were like, we were headed down.
On the top.
Yeah, and then it started going off, but it was like overwhelmingly loud, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think what else. Though when we went to Portugal, you guys had us go the whole time. And then Manuel had us out till 4 a.m. multiple times.
We had a full agenda.
Yeah. So
they were there for only 7 days.
No, 10 days.
10 days?
Yeah.
But even though we couldn't stop. So I remember one night we went out to the pubs, the bars, until, I don't know, 4 p.m.
4 a.m.
4 a.m., sorry, yeah. 4 a.m.
Yeah, we're not drunk.
We're not drunk. Hey, Manny, are we drunk?
Are we drunk?
Yeah, we're drunk, too.
And at 7 or 8, my mom was trying to wake us up.
Yeah. And then it's okay because Manel can sleep anywhere. He can just fall asleep in a car, on a couch. It doesn't matter. But we were struggling to keep up the next day.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to, I don't know where we were at, when I was hungover and I was just like holding Coke bottles to my head. You remember that? There's like I was like taking a nap on a bench.
We were going to Sintra.
Yeah, Sintra. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. That's why I ordered a coffee steak. A coffee sauce?
Yeah, coffee sauce.
Interesting combo.
Did you go to Sintra?
Yeah, with us.
Yeah,
with
us.
Oh, did you go with us that day?
That's where your dad was born? Is it Sintra?
No. My dad was born in Lisbon.
Huh?
My dad was born in Lisbon.
Oh, he was born in Lisbon. I always thought he was born in that city of Sintra.
Sintra, no.
Sintra's on a hill, isn't it?
It's on a, like, yes,
yes,
like a mountain where you have the castle.
Yes.
We call the...
But he lived there for a while then. Because when I talked to him one day, he said that he lived there, used to live there.
No, so my grandparents from his side, they had a house there for a few time. But I think it was more for a vacation. So they went there a lot. They spend a lot of time there, but only for a vacation.
Okay. Yeah.
And we have a huge palace there. I don't remember if we made it.
Well, one of them, I don't know if it was in Sintra.
In Sintra. It's the Palácio da Pena.
I think we were going to go to it, but remember the day we were going to do it? It was crowded. Everything. Crowded they were so crowded. And we pulled over at one point and we just like took a break and like all of us were like,
full of lines.
Yeah, we're like, we're okay with like not doing this. We can just go. Yeah, I remember that because we were like, it was a lot going on that day.
Where were we at when...
Sintra is crowded.
When we were with Anna Marie, Anna Marie and her husband, Antonio. And then you guys, but I can't remember. When we stopped and had lunch close to the ocean.
Yeah, that was Central, right? Or no?
Weed Antonio and Anna Maria.
Yeah.
Near the ocean or near the river?
I remember we did go to the...
You know when you... I want to say the ocean because...
In Lisbon.
Yeah, but way down on the coast, not in Lisbon. You know, like if we left Porto and headed out to drive on the coast highway that goes along the ocean.
Right.
Uh-huh. And when we were there and you guys got out of the car and I think he had a headache and I think Joey did too.
Is it Sintra?
I think so.
Yeah, and it was like, we were eating and then the ocean was like right to the left of us.
On a patio. On a patio.
Yeah, it was on a patio.
Yeah, and you and Mike always would go on.
Oh, we were walking on the cliffs and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it had cable there to keep out.
Yeah.
You guys go walking underneath the cable.
And then there was like almost like barracks or like old things that were built in the cliffs and then they're like ruins now, basically. Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
And Joey ordered a grilled fish. And he didn't like it.
Yeah.
I've never tried this.
Probably with the head on it still. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why they all are.
Yeah, they all are. Or like they would, or your grandpa would always order the sardines or anchovies. The whole things and just eat them.
Yeah.
And that was that the same day we went to the most west point of Europe? Remember? There's like the most west point of Europe.
Yeah, the same day.
Yeah, that was the same day, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah,
and when we ended up, we went to a park at the end, and the park is named after the Junqueros, the name of the park. It's named after one of the Junqueros. I don't know if it's the poet or somebody else in the family.
But in Lisbon also?
Yes. Around? Yes, very close.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I can look it up. Junqueiro Park?
Junqueiro Park.
Let's see.
Lisbon.
How do you spell Junqueiro again? J-U-N?
J-U-N-Q-U-E-I-R-O.
E-I-R-O?
R-O.
Oh, Queiro.
Queiro.
Let's see if we can get it. Find it. Yeah, Guerrero Junqueiro Garden.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Look at that. In Lisbon. Right in Lisbon.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like a castle. It's almost like a... It's in Lisbon, City Park in Lisbon, Portugal. I want to know the address. Will that help you?
Uh-huh.
Praça de Estrela 12.
Praça de Estrela 12.
Yeah, 1200 to 694, Lisbon. No?
Yeah, no.
No bueno. No.
Yeah,
you're the name of the area there?
I got you right here. It's by the Barro de Boa Vista.
Okay.
The big park.
Okay.
It's kind of by that. It's Case do Sodre.
Cajistre. Yeah.
That area. That area.
It's by the river. It's close to the river.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then what was the first place? When we got off the plane, you guys instantly took us to a park. And it was like a big rectangle park. It was like a huge rectangle park.
It's the park Eduard Setim with those some drawings.
Yeah,
on
like
the
all
grass.
Like lines and stuff like that.
And then at the end of it, you have a big roundabout.
Yeah.
With a statue.
Yeah, exactly.
That's park Eduard Setim.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And then took us to the castle that your grandma used to work at.
Palácio da Ajuda.
Yeah. We went there.
It's a palace. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's a palace.
And how many castles are there again in Portugal? You know how many?
There's a lot.
Let's guess.
Every town has a castle for sure.
But guess how many, Manuel?
10,000.
10,000? What's your guess, Grandpa?
Oh, I wouldn't say that much, but every city has a castle.
Every town.
So like hundreds? You think more than?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Like 500?
I'll bet more, but.
You'll bet more. I mean, there's a whole page on the internet full of them. I think you might be right, Manel.
Do you have some number there?
I don't have number. It's just like, it's like five pages full of names of it. How many castles?
Well, yeah, probably not that much, but.
Yeah, I can't find the actual name of it, but or actual number of it. But there's like
hundreds.
Hundreds.
For sure.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
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 But I know your dad was driving Anna Marie and I, there was four of us in the car. And anyway, he turned on the wrong road and
wrong way.
She corrected your dad, Anna Marie did, on telling him how to get there, you know. So anyway,
like she
I remember the park. Yeah. Yeah.
And then so you so in 2007's kind of when you guys really got the connection or whenever you guys visited the third time?
The fourth time. Fourth time. That's when we had the family reunion.
The fourth time.
Yeah.
But then still on that fourth time, how or why did you took Bernadine? Why did you take Bernadine and how did you connect? Why did you go there that fourth time?
It was for the family reunion.
Well,
right?
Because Anna Marie invited us.
To the reunion, right?
To the reunion.
But you were already there.
I was there before.
So you were…
The time before.
But by the time Anna Marie invited you, you were already there. Or you traveled to go there on purpose for the family reunion.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They were there for the family reunion that time.
Yeah.
And then you brought your family. Nine people, right?
Well, there was nine people came from… California, the one girl from Hawaii, right. You know.
And then the next time the family connected was when you came over, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so what made you want to come your family in the United States when you're 21?
So then basically, Anna Marie, when I turned 21, my grandmother asked me if I want to go and visit my cousins in California. The ones that were in the reunion, mm-hmm. in the family reunion, I said yes. Let's meet him.
And then you spent a month here.
A month.
And then you bought a plane ticket for a month, and we were all like, "This kid's gonna be with us.
We
a
don't
month?
Know this guy.
Yeah, yeah. What's he gonna do? Work for Grandpa the whole month?" And he did a little bit, huh?
A little bit. What?
Yeah.
I had to pay for the rent. Right? Yeah. The whole month.
The room and board. The room and board.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was 2000.
So I was, it was 9 years ago.
9 years ago.
So 2023, 2014.
2014-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, yeah.
For 4th of July, that's when you came over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. And
was,
then.
I arrived, I don't know, 1 or 2 of December. This December 2nd, I think.
What, this
and,
time?
Yeah. And after that… After that was the 4th of July and I stayed for the whole month basically.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. That's when you rode in the car in the 4th of July parade.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you got I remember you just have like random American
shirt.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And Nicole had it too.
Yeah, yeah, American yeah. Shirt. Everybody had the American shirt.
Yeah.
Great parade.
And then, yeah, because then, and then this is your, how much, this is your fourth time to America or fifth?
Fourth.
Fourth. Once, no. Antonio came the second time?
No. Third time.
So then this is your fifth time?
No, the second. Antonio,
you know,
came the
you,
time.
Did you
oh,
ever,
yeah, that's what I was
did
asking.
You ever read that newspaper article on our trip to Portugal to meet?
I have read it before, but is that in here or no? You think? It's probably maybe.
Can you?
I don't think it's in there. I should have.
It might be in this one.
No, it's…
Yeah, it was like, it was written like in the Sun Star, right?
Yeah, yeah, there was two articles, you know, and very, very nice job they did putting them together.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you guys even like tell the, or like, how did they even hear that you did that?
I don't know. I told somebody, you know, we were going to Portugal to meet relatives that we've never known, and they wanted… They wrote a little piece before we went, and then they wrote one when we came back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I wanted to go was I went with my mother, but I, you know, she told me all about the Junqueiros and how we were related, but I didn't understand it, and I didn't know them. And so the paper got involved. I don't know how, but I think the paper got involved because I was a director, you know, on MID.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, yeah. Like,
and that guy connected another guy in the Sun Star, and the other guy wanted to write a story on us, trying to locate the poet's family in Portugal, you know, and that's how.
Now we can't get rid of him, huh?
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
This guy just comes year after year.
Hey, yeah. Well, you started it.
Hey, his grandmother picked him to be the ambassador.
Yeah, for the family.
Can we have the photo album here?
Yeah.
It's easy to
here. Manel, you put it right there, Manel. Yeah. You can open it. Yeah, because I was looking through, and it's wild because it's like all places you guys went to, we went to too.
So
that's my brother-in-law. That's the one that broke the bed.
Okay, just like Donnie. Okay, and you see this first photograph. What are you doing here?
We're getting directions when we leave that car rental there
from the airport.
Yeah, from the airport. Okay. Yeah.
Let's see.
You guys skip a few, Manel.
Yeah.
Or like till the pages stay together.
Right.
Here, let's.
Was these?
Oh, this is Daniela. This is Isabel's daughter.
Oh yeah.
See this here? This is Saint Barbara in the Gaz up on the hill. They got a pit statue of her.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, she's the one that protects Legaz from the bad storms that come from Spain. Yeah, and that's up on the hill there.
So Barbara. Barbara.
And so my sister, Barbara, that's
took
her
a picture.
Name, she wanted to go up and see that. And that's how come we got the pictures there.
And that's the poet statue, right?
Yeah.
So everybody in our family has pictures with that.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's right. And then right across from it, we had beers, right? At a little... There was a tiny little store,
uh-huh.
And we had like beers there.
With a in a like a garden.
Yeah.
And we were in a town. I don't know what town it was, but they were having a kind
this
of a flea
show.
Market.
This is fresh, I think.
Yeah.
And is this the house? That's the house, right?
Not yet. No.
This is at the poet's house.
Yeah, it's the kitchen, right?
This is at the place that Anna Marie had for all the history of.
The bottom stairs.
That's like the museum.
The museum.
Yes.
That's a little bit different now, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. And that's where it's at. Yeah. And this is Alcina and Betty and me, and this is Gita. This is the oldest daughter of Isabel.
Okay. And you remember these fireplace?
Oh,
Michael?
Yeah.
In the
living room. Yeah.
And then
here my,
your mother.
My grandma and my aunt.
Yeah. And she really stood out that night. This is her again, isn't it? Right here?
It is.
Yeah.
And there's Anna Marie. And I thought, you know, this is before we had the dinner. This is...
Oh, so you were just kind of learning about everything.
Yes, yeah. And they were telling us everything. We're sitting in there, and Antonio, he was pouring brandy, you know.
You're Manuel's grandpa?
Yeah. Oh,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and I was feeling pretty good. I think I had trouble getting out of my chair, you know. And it was real funny. When we were in there, and they had... I think a couple of couches,
mm-hmm.
You know, big couches. And I don't know, somebody, either my sister or somebody says, where did you guys get all this furniture to fill this room up? Well, they come out of a brothel. You know,
was it what is it?
Like a sex place, basically. Okay. Like a
yeah, and
we got a deal on it. We couldn't pass up.
Yeah, right. And here they were rebuilding a church across from the poet's home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because I remember the brick and everything from the poet's.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, that's all the poet's, right?
Yeah.
All right. The boots
house. Yeah, and then the kitchen, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, this bench. I remember.
Remember the bench?
And then, isn't there something on the bench? Like, or the table's in the middle. Is that what it is?
Yeah, right in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
Oh, yeah.
When we were there, we didn't even go in the garden because you guys had a guard dog.
Yeah.
That you guys didn't know if you could pet or not. You were like,
No, we could.
No, you were like, I don't know if it's nice.
I wonder.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Anne Marie really looks relaxed now, huh? I bet she was trying to figure us out, huh?
Probably.
Yeah.
Are we really related to these people?
Exactly. Yeah.
They're staying at this house now. I don't know how we got to this point.
Yeah, they're all beautiful people. I just fell in love with them.
Yeah.
It's just unreal, you know. But they were so much history, you know.
Well, and especially compared to, like, here, like, our whole country is 17, you know.
Yeah,
1700 and on.
Yeah.
You guys' history, the house was 1700s, you know what I mean? For your, like, family history that you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the church.
Yeah.
That's
the church they were remodeling, yeah. Yeah.
And then didn't you say in Faceshoe and Lagage, they used to keep the animals underneath the houses, right?
In Lagage.
Yeah, and to warm up the whole house, right, or something
well,
like that?
Well, it was a way of, like, they had pigs down underneath mm-hmm. in, the basement on the side of a hill. And they would just, they had a deal on the sink where they did dishes and stuff, but they would put the food, the scraps, down to the pigs, right?
For the animals.
Yeah, just throw it down there.
Oh, just throw it, down, yeah.
Yeah.
And then in return, your whole house smelled like shit.
No, it was really
fun. It was probably worth the warmth at the time, but...
Yeah. At least we didn't have to clean the dishes.
just dump them. And then this is Lisbon, right? The whole area?
Yeah.
No, Lisbon, Manel?
No.
This is...
It's in the north.
This is, if I'm not mistaken, this is close to Lisbon. This is a fishing village here. Is it Nazaré? I don't know. I don't have anything written down.
I can't recognize the city from...
Manuel has lived there his whole life, but we'll see. He doesn't know.
And I don't know what's this bridge. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not Lisbon.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like where we had dinner one night, the fancy dinner, Manel. You remember that? We're like on top of a roof.
This is Isabel's daughter that married the guy in...
That was in downtown.
We were talking about it when you were at home at our place. Switzerland? Where did Betty say she lived?
What's the name of her? What's her name?
This is Daniela Marias. Morris, however you want to say it, mm-hmm. but she went to work in, I think it was...
Switzerland?
Yeah.
It's a possibility, but...
And anyway, she lives
so
there.
So many people I can remember.
Yeah, and she has two daughters. This is Isabel's oldest daughter. This is Isabel. This is Arthur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that the same house we ate at?
Yeah, I'm looking
with a big table.
Yeah, yeah, we have the pictures of all of us with like the watermelon slices.
Fruit, yeah, all the fruit.
Yeah, this
drank a lot of beer. I was like, how do you guys have this much stuff on deck for?
Well, you know, you see where the kitchen was.
Yeah.
Well, there was a door there when you come in on the left, mm-hmm. and it went down into the basement, which is one story
cold.
Deeper.
Uh-huh.
And they keep all their stuff in because it's so cold in there, you know.
But still, they had like enough for a party. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was like, I do not have all this at my house. Like, they had so much beer and everything for us.
And the people are so nice in the village to all of us, you know. And when Betty and I were leaving...
This is a beach place.
And did you meet Arthur and stuff before you met the Junquedos?
When I took my mother over
there,
first trip, I met Isabel. She came over.
Okay.
She cooked all the food for us. She, in the Martins house, mm-hmm. cooked all the food for us. She washed all of our clothes by hand.
Oh, wow.
Up on the top of the home, you know, up on the roof. She did it all up there. And... that's where I met her. And so I sat up there one afternoon just talking to her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she understood English real well, but she couldn't speak it too good. But we got along, you know, and I learned a lot from her.
So that was the first time with you?
Yeah, yeah.
And what year was that, when your very first trip?
I want to say it was like
80s.
82, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you'll know some, huh?
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day.
That's right. Yeah, Betty was talking.
I think Betty remembered.
But it was just you and your mom on that trip? It was just you two, you and your mom on that trip?
Well, no. I went, you know, I hate to say this, but I went over there because my Aunt Annie wanted my mother to go with her and this other lady. And then that's when I found out my gay cousin was going.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And then his buddy was going.
You had to share a room with them?
Yes. One night I slept in the hallway.
There was only one bed?
Huh?
There was only one bed?
Yeah, double bed in there.
And then they called dibs on sharing it, you know?
and I said... You know,
good riddance.
I told, you know, because my mother wanted me to go in with them because it'd be cheaper for the hotel room, you know.
yeah.
And I said, no more. I said,
she had a point.
Yeah. And I said, I'll get my own hotel room wherever we go. Don't ever do that again to me.
And you learned a lot that trip, huh?
Boy, I did.
Not only about family history, but about other things.
It was all history. Yeah, I tell you.
And was that at a restaurant or something?
Yeah, this was at a fondue, I think. Here, at night, we went in Lisbon, and it was strange. I remember it turned out really nice and everything, but when we went out the door, they wouldn't let us go no further than the door because they said somebody will maybe knock you in the head or something. Wherever they were having this fondue, it was a rough outside.
Rough outside area.
Yeah. And then when we left driving, I saw all these little kids out there drinking, carrying deals of beer, you know, on their back.
At the street.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I remember when we were there, when we went out one time in Portugal, there people would walk around with backpacks of stuff, and they're like, "What do you want? Do you want weed? Do you want like whatever? You know what I mean?"
And they were
asking us, and then Joey was like, "I don't want anything unless you got like a cold beer in there or whatever." And then they're like, "Don't worry." And then they reached out, pulled out an ice cold beer. This one of the castles?
This is one of the castles that we went up on. I'm trying to think of it. But
that's like a cool. You know that one, Manel?
No.
Too many castles to even know.
We went into that was a Rodriguez. Rodriguez, I think, or something, on the castle.
You went with Rodriguez?
Yeah. Manel? I don't know. I think we went two or three.
This is Sintra.
Yeah.
That's the palace we were talking about.
Oh, that's one that we tried to go to, but there's too many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an overwhelming day.
Yeah, that's a nice town, though, that Sintra. I like it.
Mm-hmm. And then what beach did you take us to, Manel? Well, it was just me, Donnie, Joey, where we went surfing.
Was in Sintra also.
Went surfing for a little bit?
So we went to two different places. One was Carcavelos.
And that was a surfing
where
one?
Where you went to surf. Uh-huh. You surfed there. And the other one was at Praia Grande.
With the cool rocks at the end?
Yeah, with the cliff.
And you said there was dinosaur prints there?
There were some dinosaurs.
That's like one of my biggest regrets is like not walking up that cliff.
I don't know. You see all these people here in the Spitzer Manuel?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know them.
Yeah. This family, I think, is Rodriguez in the village, you know. And they're some way they're all related to me. Mm-hmm. And every one of them, you know, there were seven houses in the village. We had to go eat at their house before we could leave and go home. I couldn't believe how generous they were.
Well, that's kind of like Arthur when we got there. Remember?
Yeah.
We were like, oh, we're going to leave. They're like, no, stay. And we ended up staying like
first.
5 hours.
they were guys walking on the street.
Carrying the bags on their head?
No. When I was walking in the street in Ligage, you know, a big tall guy, and he was coming up the hill with his donkey loaded down with, it looked like it could have been wheat or something, you know, but he was really loaded, and he was jabbering to me back, didn't understand Portuguese good enough. And then he pointed like this to himself and then to me, and he said, you know, we're related, we're blood. And I don't remember, you know, I got a picture of him at home. I might be a picture in here.
Here for all we know,
yeah.
And he was like, I'll see you in America.
Yeah, that's when Bernadine was with us, yeah.
You're treated like a king over there, Grandpa.
No, I met people that knew that they were related to me. But
here we go. This was the day of the reunion, I think.
Yeah, see, this is a Junqueira from Fresno that went with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a cousin of mine.
So her last name is Junqueira, though?
Huh?
Is her last name Junqueira?
No, her name is...
she married or something?
Yeah, she married a Portuguese guy, but I can't think. He was a, what do you call it, an estimator on truck accidents on 99.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he had...
Where's this pool at? That looks like a nice pool.
Oh, that's our Margarita's.
Margarita's place.
Yeah.
That's where you guys
She stayed? Owns. Yeah. She owns a hotel, a rural.
Right here. Hotel. Right here it is.
My parents went there too, or no? My parents went, but
we wanted to go, but
okay. That I think I just remember.
We didn't reach it. I think.
Yeah. And where's that at?
No, that's
it's close to Fraser.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like own little private stay area. Yes.
Yeah. It's on their ranch, isn't it? Didn't she build it on their ranch? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Statue of the Poet again. Or is that a different one?
Nope. So that's my
This is Bernadine. This is
Grandma.
Grandma.
That's my grandparent.
Your great grandparent?
Parent of my grandmother.
So the poet's son or daughter, or no?
And who is
I'm
it?
Not sure.
Who did you say that was?
It's my grandparents.
His great grandparents.
On my grandmother's side.
What's his name?
Sarmiento Rodrigues.
Simon?
Yeah.
What's the last name?
No, Jose.
Oh, Jose?
And yeah.
And then what's the last name?
Sarmiento Rodrigues.
How do you spell that?
S-A, can you read this?
I can't read it.
S-A-R-M-E-N-T-O? T-O, yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
And then Rodriguez with an S at the end.
And then Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Jose, Guillermo. Is Guillermo his name?
I don't know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mess. And that's the bell tower, right?
That's up in the tower there.
Yeah, that's... and then it was a circle, right? Wasn't it just like a circle staircase going up?
That's the girl. That's the little girl that came from Hawaii. And this is a girl from Fresno.
Right.
Yeah.
There's the bell.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right next to it.
He's a character.
He's...
Yeah. What?
It's our Uncle Jose.
Jose?
Jose. Uh-huh.
Didn't they have a nickname for him?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he was real comical. Now, this is Anna Marie's brother, right? Yeah.
Arthur? Arthur?
Huh?
Arthur?
I can't remember his name.
Arthur,
yep. Yeah. Yeah, he took me all through his ranch, you know. Mm-hmm. He had a dairy barn there, but then he made it into a winery. He used to do all of his own wine. And then when I was there, he was selling his grapes to somebody else. Where is that? I don't know where that is. Oh, this is the city hall in Fraser.
Is this the mayor of Fraser?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one that gave us all kinds of little gifts, pins and everything else.
You're a celebrity there.
Yeah, so, everybody comes.
I don't know what this is, but she's standing by it. Must be related to it, huh?
Something.
I can't.
What is that on?
And you made a trip to Douro River on a boat?
Yeah.
Is this right here?
Yeah, we went down the river in the boat. This is the boat. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. What is this picture?
Oh, just still at the...
Still with the mayor. Yeah.
Let me see if we have some more here.
The statue.
Those.
Yeah.
You and your sister, you and Barbara.
Yeah.
And
there's the house again.
Oh, here's Al Rodriguez here.
Yeah, Al Rodriguez.
He damn near died. I think we ended up in a town of...
you go to a hospital?
We ended up in the town of Fayshu and... but we was at Ligaz all day and eating and drinking, and he wasn't supposed to drink. He was taking medication to not drink, you know, whatever it was. And he damn near went into a coma that night. And so we called the one that helped us was the one that has the Anna Marie's sister. What
Yeah, his sister.
Manuel did not study for this one again.
Well, I know. Anyway,
he was relying on you to tell him.
she found she knew the doctor in town that had an office there anyway, and it was like 10:30 at night is when we finally got him in there, and they thought he was going to die, you know, because he wasn't supposed to drink. And here he was drinking all this wine, and I told him when he was drinking it, I says, "You're not supposed to drink, are you?" And he says, "A little bit won't hurt," but he wouldn't stop drinking. Yeah.
A little bit more.
The wine is good there, huh?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this is the reunion, huh?
Yeah,
this is the reunion, yes.
Yeah,
remember the patio?
Yeah.
I was talking about.
Okay. Oh, this is the one you were talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, this is, that's the gal from Fresno. That's Barbara. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
You there? Is he here? That's me and my Uncle Manuel, my grandpa.
Yeah.
This Kike.
Yeah, that was a good event, wasn't it?
Yes.
And so how often do you guys have big family reunions, Manel?
So we get together like once a week for dinner.
No, but like for like that big of a family function.
Ah, that's not so often.
Like no. Every few years?
Probably.
Like 4 years or something like that.
Well, Anna Marie really did it because of the relatives from
America. Because of you. Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah.
So next time we come, basically, is what you're saying. We'll all get together again. And Manel, you're 15, Manel?
Is this Anna Marie's sister, this lady here?
No, that's Teresa.
Who?
Teresa, that owns the... The hostel.
The what?
Teresa, who owns the hostel.
The Royal Hostel. Oh, yeah.
Teresa. Okay, yeah, that's her. That's right. Yeah, now I remember her. Yeah.
Is that your mom, Manel, or no?
Yeah, my mom there. Mm-hmm. His grandmother and mother. Mm-hmm. Here again, Manuel. Bernadine's in the picture.
Bernadine.
Mm-hmm. She gets in all the pictures, huh? That's Isabel, right? Huh?
That's Isabel.
Yeah, that's you. And that's my oldest sister, Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All for the American cousins coming in. But...
See, this guy's related here. He's related to Junqueros, and he's related to me.
Do you remember his name?
Too many people related to remember.
Oh, yeah. This is Arthur. Not Arthur. Fernando in the village. And this, is, I think, is his daughter. This is his wife here. And see, his last name is Junqueiro. But he...
I remember Fernando.
Yeah, he wasn't a Junqueiro. He took his mother's last name, not his father's. Yeah. I don't know what the other name was.
Let's see... Some more pictures here.
That's back at the house.
Oh, here's the Bernadine at the table for breakfast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this is the cellar.
The winery.
This is a cellar, right? Yeah. With all.
Yeah. So, oh, this here. This is when Anna Marie gave us dinner the next night
after the reunion
at the dining room.
No.
Oh, at the house.
At the same night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
when she called Alcina to tell us to come back to eat the next night.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then where was the reunion at? Where was the patio thing at? Lisbon or?
No, it was in Freixo.
In Freixo? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right next to the our house.
Yeah.
Oh, right next to the poet's house?
Yeah.
And then, the what's it called? Liquor cabinet? What do you guys call that? The wine cabinet?
The wine, winery, or cave.
Why was it built like that? Do you know? So, like, there's a cabinet when you walk in the living room.
Well, they had wine.
And it just looked like a normal liquor cabinet, but it had a secret door.
Oh, you're talking about that one in the living room.
Yeah.
This one.
That escape route.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But you know why it was originally made?
To escape.
Probably.
To get
bombs
out.
Or something. During wars and stuff.
Probably to protect the bottles from the light and from, I don't know.
But the secret door, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't.
Somebody there told me that the escape door was put in case Spain come over to take over the city.
Okay.
They had a way to escape and get out, you know, down through the basement. Yeah. The labels look almost like the bottle you brought to me, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say
it
that.
It is one of these.
It's one of those?
Yeah, yep. It is that label. That's what I thought.
And so your great-grandpa or grandpa made those bottles of wine?
My great-grandpa made several bottles of wine.
For each year?
For each year of each grandson. So was four productions from four different years for the four grandsons.
And so you still have…
This is Cockburn. That's the…
What's a popular…
This winery is… Isn't this in
Oporto? I think it's in Oporto. I think your mom and dad, they tried this one.
Yeah, Cockburn. I think it's almost popular here, right? In Cockburn?
Yeah.
Right?
It is?
Yeah. People have it here.
Yeah.
Dang. And then look at the really old bottles.
Oh, there's… Yeah.
I remember that. Like, so much dust on them. I'm like…
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like a selfie before a selfie.
Looks like somebody took a lot of pictures out of here, huh?
This is Alcina's house.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We went to that house too. Yeah, and then we also went to, I think, the house where your mom was raised at.
Yeah, born.
Born at, yeah. And we took a picture outside of that house too.
Yeah, that house is all redone.
Exactly. It was already done since then.
Here's Alcina.
Do you know there is a church in Ligares that it has a something, there's a text on the wall written that says that a priest from California helped, raised, no, a priest from that church made a fundraise where people from California contributed to build that church.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you didn't hear the whole story.
No.
What's the whole story?
Father Martin was his name.
Father Martin?
Yes.
Okay.
And he, it's not a very good story. I shouldn't even tell it.
Well, we could cut it. You could cut it, so it's okay.
But he was working in Turlock and Hilmar area.
The priest?
The priest. And for some unknown reason, and nobody knows why, he embezzled,
money from
$350,000 from
the raising
where he was working in California and went back.
And, Ligares.
Yeah, and he stayed there and he had all that money and that's what he did. And everybody was saying he was a saint, you know.
But in
California, California, he wasn't a saint. Yeah, right. He's the one that got the…
you write your own story sometimes, Grandpa.
Yeah. The place they have there now, he has it was started by him, you know, where they took care of the children. I don't know what you call it, in Ligage, you know. And now they have to take care of the old people there.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Father Martin built all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he built that, the church?
Well… He tried to do good, you know.
He tried to do good.
He tried to make up for… He was like, I may be a bad person over there, but…
He probably figured…
I'm going to do a lot for this town over here.
Yeah. He probably figured that here's Isabel and Arthur out in his cooking
their
place.
House
where he
cooking?
Cooks. Yeah, he cooks outside in that little building there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, there's a table there.
You having lunch again?
Yeah.
Arturo's. Remember having lunch here on this table?
Oh, no. Yeah, I do remember. And I feel like one of the biggest memories from Portugal was eating so much food that day.
Yeah.
Good memories here.
Boy, look at that. Where is that at? This is at the restaurant in Feixio.
That's the restaurant. We used to go
this
there.
Is where we went in Bacalhau.
We used to go there a lot.
Did you?
Usually.
You go upstairs?
We still go there sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I can't see good, so I don't know what I'm looking at.
That's not, where's this?
Oh, well, this is Alan Rodriguez's wife. I don't know nice where view. That is. Yeah,
what was that building?
Look at you.
Oh, here's
look at
here.
You.
Oh, there's a, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was eating whole a lot shrimp of crab right there, that huh? night too. I remember that. But somebody, it wasn't this dish. It was another dish that it was the whole fish was in that dish and they couldn't eat.
Yeah. Like Joey.
Yeah.
That's funny. Where was that one place we went to with the poets buried quote? Remember?
Oh, up in the sanctuary.
That was the day. That was the day.
That's Lisbon.
That was the day when Grandpa was running. You remember when Grandpa was running down the hill?
Down a hill.
And it was me, Joey, and Manuel walking together.
And the floor was slippery.
Yeah, and then you, Grandpa, you remember that? When you were wearing your John Deere shirt?
Donnie saved you.
And then you ran past us, and we just, me, Joey, and Manuel just looked at you like,
oh, that's when Donnie picked
he's
me
in
up.
A hurry. And then Donnie ran after you and slowed you down, and we're like, oh, yeah, that's our bad. Yeah.
You know, it's really sad here when Betty and I went back again, and this is the couple where we stayed when they lived in the village, this couple. And she lost most of her memory, and because her name was Deuce, they called her Deuce.
Deuce,
you know? Yeah, and
Dulce,
she
maybe?
She was a school teacher also in her younger years, and she was a pretty lady, you know. But she really had Alzheimer's real bad when we went and visit. He could understand us pretty good, but
that's Alcina or no?
That's Alcina with Barbara. Yeah.
Some more pictures from the reunion day?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Not this one, though. This is Gita and Daniela and Gita's daughter right here. I don't know where we're at over there. Now, this is at Arthur's house in the front when he got his house all done. It's some more relatives in the village. And this is Alcina's brother that left Turlock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the cops were after him.
He moved back to Lagars.
Yeah, he was selling marijuana or something. I don't know what he did.
You know, Manel?
They got him on drug charges. Yeah, and he.
I don't want to have this, any to do with that.
This is in Lagars.
What did you just do, Manel? You just stand up. Yeah, there's a button on the side. Pull up.
Oh,
better?
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, a lot of nice people.
I don't have nothing to do with that. Some notes there?
I don't know. Betty probably wrote these for some reason or another. I don't know what they are.
Probably just names of people in the book or something.
Right.
Yeah, we can put it in the end. There we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a bunch of other good pictures. I wish I could have. I never thought to go get pictures, you know.
You have more?
At home?
At home? Yeah.
Yeah. Tons of...
We had about three books like this. Yeah.
From the different trips and stuff. Yeah. And then...
My first trip, it was the first book, I think, Benny grabbed. And that's when... It's not that way today, but when that first trip I took my mother over with, all the fishermen fishing would come in late. And they would take all of their catch to a co-op. They had to take it and sell it at the co-op, the government, so the government would get their tax money off of the fish. Yeah, I couldn't believe
it. Before they sell it to the stores.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I felt sorry for the men. And I remember the wives of some of the fishermen. They were selling barnacles, you know, barnacles to eat on the street.
Yeah,
and sardines and all kinds of stuff. And I think the nicest old town I went to along the coast, we went to, I can't think of the name of the big one. A lot of people from Germany were there.
Cascais.
Huh?
Cascais.
Is that a Portuguese name or English?
Portuguese.
No.
It's the name of the town.
No, I can't remember. It's not that. Nazaré was one of them, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where the big surf competition
is, right?
That's
where
the big waves
are.
The big waves.
Oh, is that right?
They're like huge. How big are the waves, man?
I don't know.
like
30 feet.
Yeah, 30, 40 feet.
Yeah. But some of those women of the fishermen, they don't go to bed, huh? They stay up waiting for the boat to come in, huh?
And they have to work all night.
Yeah.
To get the fish ready and clean them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't believe
it. It's a tough life.
It is a tough life, huh? Yeah, I couldn't believe it, how hard they worked. But yeah, there were several spots along the beach there the first year when I took my mother. We came back and we visited some of those spots. And then when Betty came over the first time, I made sure we came all the way down back the coastline. There. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things there on the coast.
Did you and Betty come the second? That was the second trip when Betty came with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just trying to.
Yeah.
And then the third trip is when everybody came, or fourth? The third trip with my mom and stuff?
Yeah. It was either the third or fourth trip.
Yeah.
I've been over five times, so I can't remember all the trips unless I see pictures.
Except that last one, huh?
Yeah.
You have better memory than me.
Oh, yeah.
Manu can't even remember. Manu was only 30. Yeah. Can't remember. That's funny. And then I'm trying to think. So you did the dairy business for how long? How long were you in the dairy business? I mean, your whole life, really.
50 years I was in the dairy business, yeah.
But you also did it because your dad did it, right? Or
yes, yeah, he did it. And I had to milk all the cows.
Yeah, you were like four working, right?
Well, now six.
Six,
yeah.
Dang. And then you started your own dairy when you were like after the war?
Yeah, when I come back from Korea, Betty and I went to work for Henry Cravelli in Dos Palos. And there was a kid that got killed in a car wreck. And he had a bunch of Jersey cows and heifers. I say a bunch. I think I bought about 15 head from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry financed me and helped me get started. And so about that time, the guy that used to breed all the cows and stuff on the place, he was in partners with the Britta brothers. I didn't quite understand what it was, but then he left. Him and his wife split up or something, and he left the ranch, the Britta brother ranch, and they were looking for a guy to go milk the cows and mm-hmm. feed them. And they would get a third of the cream check, you know.
Oh, okay.
Well, gotcha. I told them I was interested because I had cows now running in Henry's herd. And I took my cows and I went over there. I had four Holsteins, but all the rest were Jersey cows. And I had some heifers. And anyway, it was really rough because they were a wonderful family, Italian family, Berta brothers. And the oldest brother on the ranch, he would come down and he would feed all my calves for me and their calves, you know. But then I did all the milk and all the feeding and got a third of the cream check. But they were shipping milk in cans. And so I, from making $300 a month, my share of their cream check, you know, which I was almost starving.
That was your first business.
Yes, when I first started
the dairy.
The very first dairy.
Yeah, and then I told them that they needed to get a grade A contract, and all we got to do is build a grade A barn,
mm-hmm.
and you could get a grade A contract. So I got another guy to help me do the bricklaying and stuff on the barn, but I did a lot of work on that barn. So we built a grade A barn. Holding corral. They didn't have a holding corral. You know, they just had wooden panels and stuff and dirt. And I built all that and they started feeding grain to the cows during milk time. And it was a barn. You know, on our front porch, front of the house, mm-hmm. there's a big long cart.
Yeah,
with three milk cans on it. Mm-hmm. Well, we would push that up and down that aisle in that barn. I'd run four surge milking machines, and dump into these cans, and then Betty would push it to the milk house uh-huh. at the other end of the barn and dump in a big, great big square tank that pumped the milk into the milk house.
Okay, gotcha.
And it was filtered and cooled and then went into the milk tank.
Dang.
And anyway, when I left there, I was making almost, I was making about $2,000 a month, but I was milking 100 cows
a day
and feeding them morning and night. And if I wanted to take off, I had to pay.
So it was like 12-hour shifts, right?
No. In the morning.
Just early morning, late, or in the night.
Yeah. I would milk, be all through with everything with about 3 hours, and then I would have to go out and feed the cows, you know. So I'd put in 4.5 hours in the morning and sometimes more than that at night. Mm-hmm. And
so it was a lot of work.
Huh?
It was a lot of work.
Oh, it was. And so when it come time to renew my contract with them, they says, Don, he says, you're making way too much money now. We're going to have to cut you down to a quarter instead of a third of the cream check.
But you were helping. You're the reason why I was growing and stuff. Or
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a real good contract. They ended up selling. When I left, they hired about 3 different guys. None of them were any good. Uh-huh. And so they ended up selling the cows and they sold the contract to somebody. I don't know.
And then did you start your dairy after that?
Yeah.
Your own dairy?
Yeah. And I started my dairy after that.
What year was that? Like the 50s or 60s?
Huh?
Was it 50s?
I think it was in the 60s.
60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so you're like 20 years old?
No, I came back from Korea. I was 21, so I was probably about 23, 24. I was probably 25, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you started your dairy in the 60s.
In El Nido.
El Nido, and that's where it started?
Yeah.
In El Nido?
Yeah.
And then when did you get...
Well, excuse me.
Go ahead.
No, then I had about 33 cows, but it wasn't enough for me to... You know, and so I was going around looking for a herd of jerseys to buy, you know, and I found one in Atwater. And then, of course, we moved to Atwater and I bought that herd of cows and it was a mess.
Is that where the dairy was?
Yeah.
That originally?
And that's where we lost our, the child that was born after Bernadine.
Yeah.
The daughter.
There.
Yeah.
And then...
She was the youngest when we were in... Atwater.
Yeah.
And we stayed there 2 years, but I don't know why, but I couldn't get a good crop of anything in sand except on one field. The ranch was
for growing stuff?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The sand, you had to know how to farm sand, mm-hmm. and it had too much fall in the fields, you know? Mm-hmm. And I leveled one of the fields, and it was real good, but it wasn't enough ground there. I think it was about 13 acres or something.
And so during the dairy stuff, you were growing crops as well?
Yeah, when I bought the dairy in Atwater.
So what would you grow? What were you growing?
I was growing stuff for Green Shop. I one field I saved to grow corn on it for silage in the winter.
Oh, for the cows and stuff?
Yes, gotcha. Yeah. And then the rest was Green Shop, grain, different grains and whatnot, and it was just, it was too much because I couldn't farm sand. I was raised on heavy soil, and so we heard of a guy selling out and getting a divorce in El Nido, and so we went and rented that ranch. It was about 90 acres, and that's where we did really good. We got on our feet.
Oh, right there, yeah.
In El Nido. Yeah, I grew alfalfa for Green Chop, and then had enough ground to grow silage for the winter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we had Jim Tuff and Gene Tuff. They were neighbors. They were real nice people, and they were really helpful to us.
But you guys lived in Atwater, and the ranch was in El Nido, or the place was in El Nido?
We moved from.
Oh, okay.
We moved from... Atwater till night that ranch.
Gotcha.
And that's where we really done the best, you know.
And then when did you move to where we saw when we were growing up? The one down the street from your house.
Oh, the one on, it's on the street for the Richard lives
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that dairy there. I don't know how many years we were there. I think we were there until I moved from El Nido in 1970.
Oh, and then moved there probably then?
And moved there on that dairy, and I was there 5 years, and then I bought
the dairy?
The 300 acres that we were on, the big ranch.
And then did you kind of, was that already a dairy prior or no?
Huh?
Was that one already a dairy?
Yeah, it was, but the people that were on it before me, they were nice people. I remember them all. But the brother-in-law of one of the boys, the old couple were living on 140 at that time. They bought him a home. Mm-hmm. And one of the boys was in charge of the dairy. He was a son-in-law married to a daughter of that family. And they didn't do a very good job. They pastured. Mm-hmm. And when they fed hay out in the pasture, you know, through the bales, uh-huh, through
they
the
just
wire.
Threw them on the ground, right?
Wire, yeah. And everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was bad. We had to clean the whole ranch up. But once it got started, then we did really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when did you get the Clydesdales?
You know, I bought them after Richard and Tommy took over the dairy. They,
okay.
I had a lot of heifers.
When was that, like the 80s?
Yeah.
Around the 80s?
Yeah, maybe 80s. Late 70s, early 80s. 80s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I bought them, and that's when I bought them, and I was restoring Model A.
Model A's, it. That's what you, right? So you did the dairy, basically, in the beginning, and then you went to Model A's,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the two sons took over the dairy.
Yeah, and then you added your shop right there. That's where you did all the Model A's and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you were like fixing everyone's Model A's in the area, huh?
Oh, gosh.
There's only one guy to go to?
Yeah, it was like a nightmare for me. And I had to get out of it because it was causing me too much work and tension, because when I would do a car completely from the ground up, you mm-hmm. know, and I told them, you give me a third of the money when you bring the car in here.
Yeah, like
complete restoration.
Like a down payment, yeah.
Yeah, and then when I get halfway done, you bring me another third.
And then when I'm done, you get the last third.
Yes, and I had trouble collecting money. And believe it or not, it wasn't the people that had a job working hard, you know, mm-hmm. Like everybody does. They were people that were like, the chief of police at Atwater, mm-hmm. I'd done a car for him. He's mm-hmm. gone now, but he thought he was smart, because when he would come in and owe me money, say that he owed me $1,500, mm-hmm. he would come in and try to get it for like...
Oh, try to barter with you?
Yeah, cut me now. I said, no, here's what you owe totally, mm-hmm. and this is what you were supposed to pay. And another guy was from a minister in a church in Modesto. Mm-hmm. It was funny that I had trouble with
those people.
Kind of people.
The public figures almost.
Yes. Yeah. And it was, I said, no.
They're probably used to using their power in places, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I did 15 cars complete.
Dang.
And then after that, I just worked on people that broke down or needed something.
Not redoing a whole car.
No.
Yeah, yeah,
I quit doing that.
Yeah,
it was taking a toll on me.
And then what was the farthest place with the Model A crew, the group that you guys went to, drove? Because you guys used to always drive with your Model A's.
Oh yeah.
What was the furthest place that?
Well, we started the Model A Club in Merced. Mm-hmm. I and Linton Woolen are the two guys. Well, one woman is still alive, but she's not doing well right now. I think she's probably about 85 or somewhere about my age. And
so you started the...
We started the car club in Merced in the 70s is when we started it. Because I had a Model A Ford ever since in the 10th grade in high school.
Oh, really? And yeah. did you ever... What's the oldest Model A you have now? I mean, that you've had? That
the Roadster, it came out of... Idaho, mm-hmm. and I did it. I got it from a friend of mine. It was all in pieces. It come out of a garage. The garage burned down, mm-hmm. and the car was in the garage. So it had. I did a lot of work on it, and then I don't have anything else that I've remodeled for myself. I just worked on them. Mm-hmm. You know, the sedan I got.
Yeah,
I traded it. For another car I had, and I've done a lot of work on it. put a different engine in it and everything else. And then the black one, who I was friends with, this guy, he was in Korea. He was a pilot over there. And he had it, and he had it, a roadster, and another car. And anyway, he died, and his son got all the vehicles. And so his son, after he retired from the park system, he was in Alaska and Yosemite mm-hmm. and all over. He decided he wanted to get rid of the black car. And so I bought it from him, and I paid him $12,000 for it. And he's called me up twice, and he wants to buy it back, but I told him it's not for sale.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one with the original interior?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've done the engine on the car. I've done the brakes. Everything mechanical is all done mm-hmm. on it, and it just needs the new upholstery in it. I put a new top on it. I put new wood in it.
Are Model A's the cars when you had to go up a hill, you'd go backwards or no?
No.
Or Model T's?
No. I had the tow truck for a while, you know, and mm-hmm. I ended up selling it. I wished I hadn't, but I put it all together. It was a flatbed truck, and mm-hmm. I found an old tow truck body mm-hmm. in Atwater, and I bought it pretty reasonable, and I put it on the truck.
Oh, you like combined them?
Huh?
You combined them?
Yes. And it turned out really good. You couldn't go very fast, and it had a BorgWarner two-speed transmission in it to shift. And so that means that you had three speeds in the first transmission. The second one, you had two more, so you had like six gears. You know? Yeah. And it was real nice.
Do you think that's because of you that Richard and Joey likes the
old cars?
The old cars restoration.
Say that again now.
Do you think that's because of you that Uncle Richard and Joey like the old cars restoration?
And
motorbikes and.
I'm sure it definitely plays a part in
it. Yeah, it always does. It does. Yeah. And Richard, that's when he got into.
Richard likes a little more hot rod type.
Yeah, but Model A he bought in Fresno, and it was in pretty nice shape.
Is that the hot rod one that
the coupe.
He has? Yeah. That one's a cool one.
Yeah. But, I had one of those cars in high school, and that's why I wanted to get it. But then after we started the club and we started going all over, you know, we would drive. Betty and I have been in that roadster. And we drove from here to state of Oregon, Washington, Idaho.
Top speed 55 or what?
Yeah, we've been in San Diego. We've been all over in that little car.
Dang.
A lot of trips that we've gone all over the, you know,
everywhere.
California and out of California.
Yeah. And then when did you start the pet cemetery?
You would have to ask me, huh? I think it was about...
After the Model A's then, though? Like,
no, I still had Model A's then.
But I meant after you restoring and stuff like that?
Then I started on the pet cemetery.
And that was like... And then that was like late 80s, early 90s?
I need a cough drop or some more wine.
I have a water... You want me to get a water bottle or no?
No.
Wine will work.
And it didn't take me long to get it going. You know, Jack Ferran, the place I live in now.
Yeah.
I bought that from him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he used to be a Model A club. And he helped me build a building over there.
Oh, for the pet cemetery?
Yeah, and Richard come over and put all the roof on it. And mm-hmm.
But what made you want to start a pet cemetery?
Well, I was good friends with Dr. Bazzini, and he thought it would really be a good thing, you know, mm-hmm. for the area, because most people were just burying their dogs in their backyard, mm-hmm. or leaving them at the vet clinic, and the vet clinic had to dispose of them, you know, some mm-hmm. way. And so I talked to him a while about it, and he says, you know, Don, if you start it out slow and right, I think it'll work. And sure enough, it took off, but I stayed with it 10 years. and then I sold it to my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two crematories in, and I built two buildings, and I was getting ready to buy the big crematory, and my niece was interested in the business because she worked for, she was an EMT all the time up in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she thought that she would like it. And so I told her what I had, and I told her it's a good business, and it's making money now, but it's got to go a few more years before it really catches on. And sure enough, she extended the route. I only had one van pick up pets at vet clinics, and she has three.
Oh, really? Well, and you get the most, the money comes in through the crematory? Right?
Yes.
Right? That's from the cremation and everything?
Yeah. They still bury a few pets there, and then there's a lot of people. The cremation is the main thing, because then they can take the cremains home.
They could do whatever, home or bury that at home or whatever, but without having to put a body in the ground.
Yeah. And so it's it really took off good, and I sold it to her for $300,000, and I
that was with the house on, because
office on it, office yeah, on and the shop building,
and the shop, and
there was no mobile homes on.
Oh, when you were okay, I got you.
Yeah,
afterwards
she put all that in there
with Dorothy and
living there, and she has one for her to live in.
Well, there's still a lot of room on that whole lot.
Oh yeah,
that lot's pretty big.
Yeah,
still even with all
and,
that.
Anyway, it's really doing good. But then this conglomerate come by, and they bought her business out, but they didn't buy the property. And the reason she got so much money for it is air units. See, when you run a crematory, they measure how much pollution you put into the air and how much airspace you need for the pollution you're putting out. And so I got one crematory, and when it started, and I couldn't keep up with one crematory with the pets, so I got the second crematory in and put it in that building, then built the other building right next door, and I was getting ready to purchase the big crematory. And I told the Air Resources Board how much more units I thought I'd need with that one, because I'd be doing horses in it, or I would be doing big communal cremation. In other words, I put in 10 dogs at one time.
Yeah.
And so you could do a lot of work at one time. And that's where the money came in her selling the business, was because this investment company was going around buying vet clinics and pet cemeteries. And they were buying the pet cemeteries for the air units, and so the air units is what brought her so much money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she sold it for $2.5 million.
But she still runs it, basically?
No, she oversees the property.
Oh.
She owns the property?
Yeah.
Only?
Yeah, and then Dorothy still lives there.
Yeah.
And she can stay there until she still owns the property, or do whatever she wants till she... You know, it's still her property. It's not
so
there.
So they have to pay rent or whatever then?
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know what kind of deal she worked out on, rent or anything like that. But she got $2.5 million for what I sold for $300,000. But it's because,
makes you think, huh?
Well, yeah, it's because of those air units.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think of the air units when I sold it to her.
See? Yeah, you were just like,
That's empty space, air units. It's like my brain, empty space.
That's all of our brains. That's funny. And then before we go to lunch, Grandpa, what you have any advice for, like, to a long marriage?
Oh, yeah. You got to give and take. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her and I have been together 70 years. This February will be 70. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Met her in high school. She was a sophomore and I was a senior.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then when I couldn't get along with my dad any longer after I graduated high school, I wanted to go to college. He said, no, you ain't going to college. He says, you're going to get your degree right here on this ranch. And I said, I don't think so. Because, no matter what I was doing, if I would be through with the job, he'd find another one for me, you know. And it was 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. He really believed in child labor. And I told him, I said, when I graduated high school, I tried to get him to let me go to college. Because they were guys coming out because of my ag
background
and what I took in school. Why Modesto Junior College wanted me, and so did Colingo, and then another college. And so when he said no to all of them, mm-hmm. he said, well, you do what you want to do. You know the deal here. And I wasn't making any money there. He wouldn't pay me half or a third of what he paid the hired guys. And so I told him I was leaving, and he said, you're not leaving. I said, yeah, I'm going to go down and check with the draft board and see when they're going to call me. And I said, I went down, and they said they didn't know, depending on the quotas they have for the month, you know, when they would call me. Yeah. And they thought it would be about 6 months or a year, you know. And so I went down and volunteered for the draft. And when you do that, you put yourself on
the
call.
Top of the line, right?
Right now, they call you, you know. And so they called me within a short period of time. And I was long gone. And my dad didn't last farming 2 years after I left.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He had one other man, it's all. And he did a lot of work, but I did most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cutting. Had 160 acres of hay and 40 acres of cotton. And that last year in high school, you know, I told him I couldn't milk cows, bale hay, and everything else. And so he sold the cows. And after that, I just says, I can't take it anymore this way. I want, you know, the other guy that was working for him would come to work in the morning like at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and he would go home about 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I wanted those hours, and I could get,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I would be doing one thing one day, and he says, go to bed early tonight because you're going to have to get up early. And so when he started baling hay, and then he started baling hay for a few neighbors, well, that, on one of those three-wire balers, that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And so we'd go out probably about 11 o'clock at night to go bale hay, and the dew would come in like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd have to quit baling, and so we'd go back home. And then when the dew went out about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, to finish baling some hay, I'd go out there. And then when I got through with that, I'd have to get on another tractor and go cut hay with a mower. He always raked the hay. I never did rake hay, but I cut all the fields on that 160 acres. And it was just, he'd work me around the clock, you know. I'd get 6-8 hours at the most sleep and then work all day. There'd be friends come by and want to talk to me that I went to school with, high school with, grammar school with. And if he saw me
talking,
man, I got my butt chewed out, you know. I just can't believe it, but he had a rough childhood, and I think he's taking
it. He took it out on you?
Take it out on me, yeah. Because his grandpa, when he was born.
So he was born, when was he born, like 18-something?
Who?
Your dad.
No, he was born in 1909. Yeah.
Because he lived till like 90 or something, right? Or 90?
No, you're thinking of my grandfather. Did you met my grandfather, didn't you?
I don't know if I met
Joe Rogers.
I know I met your dad, I think.
My dad. Yeah, yeah. I know you met my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
then Uncle Gardner.
Oh, Gardner. Yeah, Betty's relative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should have met all the rest of them. You would have liked that.
Well, Manuel, one time we went to go look for Grandma's. Is Grandma's uncle?
Yes.
Grandma's uncle one time in Sacramento. And literally, like, we went to, like, where he was staying at. And they're like, oh, he's out somewhere, like, basically. And he was, like, in an electric wheelchair. And when we found him, there were two dudes pushing his wheelchair.
because he said that he was going to pay the dudes, but he didn't have any money to pay the dudes. So then we were all just like in this most random group walking around with these two guys. And then my mom's like, I have like $15. Like, here's this. Like, we're leaving. And then we got to like the Greyhound station in Sacramento. And we're like, we got to get out of this area. But yeah, it was just like, it was originally like, oh, let's go meet your uncle.
Well, yeah, he used to ride freight trains.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time.
Almost a little, like a drifter kind of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was there's a difference between a bum and a hobo, and he was a hobo. He would work for a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Bums won't work for
a meal. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she has, I went back to Oklahoma with her twice, and it was, I want to say it was her uncle, I guess he was, in Oklahoma that I really, really liked, and aunt. And then her cousin, he had two sons, I think, and a daughter. And they were real nice people, mm-hmm. real nice. When we went back to Oklahoma, you know, and you can't drink. They can't sell you liquor at Western dances and all that stuff.
Yeah, they have weird laws.
You take your own bottle and you give it to them, and they pour you the drinks as the way it works, you know.
But you can't buy it from them, basically.
No, and if you buy it in Oklahoma, too, why, it's all got to be bought in a government-inspected place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The government controls the alcohol.
Alcohol inspections.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, wild, wild. Yeah. Well, it's almost 11, so
okay.
We'll wrap it up. But Manel, anything to say?
No, I think you have to do a really big party in February.
What?
For your 70th.
He said you got to do a really big party for your 70th wedding anniversary.
We Betty.
Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to be here, Manuel.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah. But it's give and take in a marriage.
That's the.
And it's really simple when
that's
you do
the secret.
That. Yeah, and love one another. Put God first in your life, and your family is second, and then your friends are third. Yeah, family always comes
in. And then your animals are fourth.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about animals.
They're first, actually. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
It's sad you mention animals. You know, when I left and went to Korea, and then my dad went broke and moved, my dog stayed there on that ranch, and the guy that moved in the house took care of the dog until the dog died. Yeah, I felt bad for that dog. Yeah, and in fact, I got it from Annette's family.
Oh, really?
The dog, yeah. Tommy Locke. I got it from him.
Dang.
Annette's brother.
Yeah, dang. That's full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. The dog lived pretty old, yeah. So anyway.
Anyways. There we go.
But it's give and take in a marriage, you know. And don't argue. And don't pay to argue. Because when you're upset.
That's not really what you do.
Huh?
That's not really what you do. You argue a lot.
Well, yeah.
Manuel's putting you on blast right now.
Yeah, it's
give and take, Manuel.
Give and take. That's the advice.
Put God first.
Put God first.
Yeah, and don't argue before you go to bed.
Go to bed happy or somewhat resolved, huh?
Yes, right.
Shout out Duffy. Shout out Michael.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it.
Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.